St. Anselm, Bishop, Confessor, and Doctor of the Church, pray for us. By the liberty with which Christ hath made us free, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, Father McKenna is home for a few days from his missionary travels, and he'll be offering the Holy Mass for you today. And he and I were talking over brunch on Sunday after the 11:30 Mass about an interesting article that I saw in the paper, and it was about slavery. Now, you older students will know about the Civil War and how it was the custom in the southern part of our country for there to be slaves that they had brought in from Africa. And indeed, for much of the world's history until modern times, but still today in some Mohammedan countries that are very dark, it was the practice to have slaves. And a slave, to be a slave, meant that you were in effect owned by somebody else. And you couldn't come and go as you wanted to, and you had to work very hard. And in the case of the slaves in the United States and the South, sometimes they were treated really very well, almost as though they were in the family, and sometimes they were not treated well. And it was a horrible life, and they used to be whipped a lot if they didn't work very hard in the fields. Well, this was an article about some Jesuit priests who have, they still have it today, a university in Washington, D.C. called Georgetown, and how they had a big load of slaves. Perhaps somebody had given them the slaves a while before, and they wanted to sell their slaves in order to pay off the debt for their school. Well, they needed special permission from the church in Rome to be able to do that, and they received that permission, and they promised they wouldn't break up the families or anything, only they didn't keep their promise. The Jesuit priest in charge didn't. And it was a very sad scene, they say, of families being broken up and sent off on a boat to go all the way down to Louisiana and to be sold. And they were supposed to be able to have the Mass and the sacraments, but they didn't have that either. And one poor lady, as she was being dragged off in chains, cried out, "Well, Father, at least give me a rosary." Because you know, children, if we have our rosary, we have everything for our Catholic faith. Well, I'm thinking about that story that was in the paper the other day, because today is the feast day of the first saint. He lived 1,000 years ago, who, along with the bishops of his country, it was England, condemned slavery. Many of the popes and the saints wanted to get rid of slavery. It bothered St. Patrick very much, and St. David didn't like it one bit. And remember, St. Gregory the Great saw the slaves that had come to Rome from England, and that's what inspired him to send missionaries to convert that land. But most people just sort of went along with it. But not our saint. St. Anselm was very brave and forthright, and he denounced slavery. He was the first churchman to do that at what's called a synod, or a meeting of the clergy, at Westminster in London. Well, you might say that St. Anselm had known what it was to be a slave in some way, and he was always fighting for his freedom. Well, when he was a boy, he was from the nobility, and his father was very stern and strict and rather worldly. And he wanted to become a monk, only his father wouldn't let him. And his father was so powerful that the monks were afraid to let him join their monastery. So instead, because he couldn't follow his vocation from God, he ended up being very worldly for many years as a student and a nobleman. And when you're worldly, children, that means you end up eventually being a slave of who? A slave of the devil. Well, his vocation came back to him when he met some holy monks in France, and then he joined that monastery. He was so holy and had such a nice way about him that a few years later, he was elected to be the head of the monastery called the Father Abbot. And then the King of England, he was William the Conqueror, who had conquered the English. He was actually a Norman king. Well, he was very sick and he was dying, and he heard about how holy Father Anselm was, and he asked him please to come and to hear his confession and to help him out, and he did. And then only the king didn't die, he got better. And then after that, he and his successor, well, they tried to enslave the church, and they tried to have all of the power and all of the property and everything for themselves, for the kings, and to say, you can't be a bishop unless I say you can be a bishop. Whereas we know that's not true, because it wouldn't be any of the king's business. That would be the business of the pope and the church. And so they had big, long, terrible fights, and sometimes St. Anselm had to go off into exile. And he wasn't allowed to come home for a long time, but still he fought for the freedom of the church. She wasn't going to be anybody's slave. And while he was fighting, this is the wonderful thing, and involved in all sorts of problems and difficulties, he was always studying and always reading and always writing. And he wrote about great things about philosophy and about theology and about how we can know there's only one true God. And he was the first of what we call the scholastics because of that very reason. Amongst the other things that he wrote was one interesting letter, which I remember I talked to you students about a number of years ago, I think. Well, this was a letter that he wrote to a father, another abbot, or the head of a monastery. And back then, the boys from the nobility were sent to the monks at a monastery to live there and go to school. It was an original boarding school. Well, this particular monastery and Father Abbot were very strict. And the boys, if they did any little thing wrong, would be beaten. And they had very severe rules. And the boys were rather unhappy. And St. Anselm wrote to the Father Abbot to say, you know, if you plant a tree in a little tiny space where there's no room for it, it can never grow out its branches. And it's the same way with boys, he said. You have to let children have a little freedom, and you have to let them grow out their branches a little bit and grow and expand. And sometimes, yes, you have to punish them if they're bad, but not so strictly, and not all the time, all the time. And the Father Abbot, I think, took the good advice that the saint had given him, and he ran a more loving and a more kind school from then on. You know, children, as I mentioned a moment ago, there are still some slaves in this world. There's everybody who lives in mortal sin. Those would be slaves to Satan or the devil. And then there actually are slaves in some Mohammedan countries. And if you were a Christian and you got caught, they would make you be their slave. And that would be a very sad thing indeed. But we Catholics know that in our mind and in our soul, we can be free always by living in the state of sanctifying grace. And there's nothing that stops us from becoming very holy and staying very close to God. But there's one thing that helps us very much. St. Anselm had a strong devotion to the Blessed Mother. He was the first one to start the feast day of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, which we still have today now throughout the whole church. And he loved the Blessed Mother very much and used to write prayers in her honor. Well, next week we have a saint who used to teach people about how to be perfectly free and really to follow Jesus Christ. He said, the best way is to be Mary's slave, not a kind of a harsh, mean, cruel, being whipped slavery. No, a holy, happy slavery, so we would never be slaves to sin or to the devil. He'll come next week, and his name is St. Louis de Montfort. But today I thought I would tell you about the saint who was the saint of freedom. Freedom for the slaves, freedom in a good sense for students, and freedom for the Holy Catholic Church in his own country. If we want to stay free, children, what's our best way? Love the Blessed Mother. Stay very close to her. Remember, the chains that we should all carry with us are the chains of her rosary, which you should always have on you or very close to you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.